let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we gather and worship this day, we thank you for this time to reflect on your scriptures and to seek your teachings. And I ask in this time of reflection that you may pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and speak words of hope and reassurance, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O God. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in July, we are going through a series called Messages from the Wilderness, where we will encounter different biblical stories and examples of people either physically in a wilderness moment or maybe more metaphorically in that they're facing some great adversity or challenge. Last week, we introduced Joseph and talked about how his dreams created this wilderness journey for him, and how dreams are not always butterflies and rainbows. Often they are a catalyst that initiates some adversity in our life, but also can create something truly amazing and redemptive for much more than even ourselves. Today, we are going to journey with the book of Ruth. I'm hoping that maybe some of you have heard or read parts of the book of Ruth before. For the women that were able to join us on our women's retreat last fall, we were able to get into Ruth a little bit. It's in the Old Testament. It's only four chapters. So if you're looking for a summer book, like, you could say that you read a whole book. It would probably take you 20 minutes, you know. and it's a great read. So I do encourage you to dive into it. As our scripture reading mentioned, this story is historically positioned in a time of what's called the Judges. So this is a time when the Israelites were getting settled into what we would call Israel, but before they had their kings. And it was still kind of a time when they kind of had tribal cultures and movement, and it wasn't the boundaries weren't quite what we think of as modern nations. And we're told in our scripture reading that in this story, the mother, whose name is Naomi, she and her husband are originally from the Bethlehem region, but they need to move to Moab because there's a famine. So that's their first adversity. You know, they're displaced because if they stay where they are, where their homeland is, they will die. So they have to move. They find safety and security in Moab. And while there, Naomi's two sons also are growing into young men, and her husband dies. We are told that they stay in Moab and that the sons get married. And we're not exactly sure how long they're really in Moab the whole time. We know it's at least 10 years because it says at least 10 years in those one parts, but we don't really know how long. But the point is that in the course of this introductory story, we're presented with Naomi, who not only experiences what it means to almost starve to death and need to then move to a foreign place, but also then have her husband die, and then we hear have her sons die. And so this is actually the main character that we are going to journey with this morning and kind of talk about what Naomi's story tells us about how we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and walk through that wilderness together. Now, as we do so and consider Naomi and her daughter-in-law's Ruth story, I want to say this. This is not going to be a comprehensive sermon that handles all of the facets of grief or experiencing loss. I do highly recommend to any of you who really are struggling with a personal loss or grief to be able to connect with me after the service so we can talk about Grief Share and that amazing ministry we have, where you can then be a part of a 13-week small group. I see one of the leaders right there. I bet if I looked around, Bill's not here this morning, but that's okay. But that's really the group that ultimately, you know, if you're looking for something that is going to really provide that deeper companionship for you, really talk to you about grief share. My hope for us this morning is that by lifting up Naomi and Ruth's story, we can see an example of just one story of how God is able to help walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death so that we may fear no evil. So, as a good preacher, this is going to be a three-point sermon. Okay. And we're going to walk through little bits of the book, but I'm not going to read it all. So, here we go. The first part I want to lift up as we consider this story and recognize that where the stage is set is this woman who has experienced incredible grief, and recognizing that in the Old Testament times, for women, this put them in a very vulnerable economic and social status. They couldn't really kind of go get jobs or own land. I mean, this was a very dangerous, precarious place to be. We have the start of a story that tips us off into three different ways that God is able to work in Naomi's life in the midst of such incredible tragedy. And the first point is that we learn from Naomi's story the wisdom of letting grace lead the way. And I want to unpack that a little bit. It says in Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 8 and 9, that after her sons die, Naomi says to her daughter-in-laws, "Go, turn back, each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them and lifted up their voices, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Now, the reason I mention this as let grace lead the way is that in the midst of Naomi's unimaginable grief, she extends grace to her daughters-in-law. And she, you know, like a good mama bear, recognizes that she's got to make sure that they help actually survive. And she tries to extend grace for what's going to be best for them. Go to your home. Let's see if you can start over your life again, because living with me is a dead end. And we hear that the women go through this cycle twice. Of course, the first time the women say, "We'll never leave you." And she says, "No, you have to leave me." And then one says, "Okay, bye." Now, that's not necessarily fair. But one does leave, which does have a subpoint to, you know, when we're in the midst of our grief and when grace is leading the way, we don't all make the same choices. It's not after. So you must stay. You die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so, even if death separates me from you. And then it says, when Naomi saw Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. And this is the flip side about letting grace lead the way. I love that in this initial story where Naomi, as the good matriarch, tries to do what's best for these young women and try to create some sense of control and order in the midst of chaos. You know, she thinks she knows the best answer. You need to go, and this is what you need to do. And Ruth says, I'm coming too. And we are given this moment where grace is sometimes a two-way street. And sometimes it's not only about extending what's needed for the other, but it's about being willing to receive a gift that maybe we don't want or don't think we need. Because the truth is that, you know what, we're really not that smart. Let's be honest. How many of us can really have predicted really what was best for us in that moment? We think we're all so smart and complicated, but half the time, those things that we don't want are actually sometimes the things that help us out most of all in the end. So we're given then this moment where grace is what begins and pervades this just horrible circumstance, where Naomi extends grace to the women, and that Ruth imposes herself back on Naomi. And they go forth back to Bethlehem. And this leads us to point number two in our experience about grief. Point number two is the importance of being honest. It says, if we then go on to verse 19, "So both of them went along until they arrived at Bethlehem. And when they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was excited on account of them." Because this is where Naomi is from, right? "And the women of the town asked, 'Can this be Naomi?'" This doesn't sound very good, does it? I mean, the women, it says they're excited to see him, and then she shows up, and they're like, "What happened to her?" And then it says in the Bible, "She replied to them, 'Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has returned me empty. Why would you call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has deemed me guilty?" That's not your usual, "Hello, nice to see you. Where have you been for 15 years? No. But point number two was the importance of being honest, right? Now, little fun fact of Hebrew, the word Naomi, her name, meant pleasant. And so what she says is, "Don't call me pleasant. There is nothing pleasant about me." Like, she's putting a radioactive sticker on her. "Call me Mara. I am bitter." And not only is she, I mean, she's not pulling any punches. Like, "I am bitter. I have had the world taken away from me, and I think that God is punishing me." And I think it's really, really invaluable that she names that, because it doesn't say that is what God did to her. She's just saying, "This is how I feel. Like, I am bitter, and like, I don't look good. You all know that something's wrong with me, and I feel like God is out to get me." And she, like the psalmists, is able to, point her finger and be angry and say, "This is unfair, and I don't like what's going on." And I have to say that when you let grace lead the way, being honest is really important. Because when we pay attention to the biblical narrative and when we look at how God works redemptively, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't go around it. We don't detour it. We don't put a pretty, like, privacy fence and pretend it doesn't exist. We have to go through it. And this is what Naomi is doing. She is saying, "This is how I really feel. This is what's really going on in my soul." And the real beauty here is in her ability to express it and to be with it. We see that God has space to come alongside, to tend, to care, to heal, and transform. Because as we see in Naomi and Ruth's story, as is true with so many biblical stories, the worst thing is never the last thing. And Naomi does not end with bitterness. We have plenty of probably even personal experiences in our own lives where we know how dangerous it can be when we get consumed by bitterness. But often that's because we think that's the end goal, and that's either we're avoiding it or we just love being in it. That's not Naomi's peace. She's just saying, "This is how I really am right now, and you can tell this is not how it's going to be forever." And then we get to point three in our story. After we let grace lead the way and be honest about how we are, one of the amazing things about the story of Ruth is that we are given a picture of redemption that happens through really ordinary tasks. You know, so often in our lives, we think or assume that when God comes in to swoop in and save us, it's going to come through some kind of tearing of the heavens, you know, jaw-dropping, action-packed movie. But more often than not, it's a lot more like the story of Ruth and Naomi, where there's one little thing that suddenly leads to one other little thing. And in Ruth and Naomi's case, it was simply, hey, I'm hungry. Where should we get some food? And they get to work. Ruth gets to work. And Naomi starts to tend and care for and mentor Ruth in the journey. And we see, if you were to read through the narrative itself, that there's just this piece by piece where something changes and unfolds or presents itself and leads it to something else. And through that process, step by step, even though it doesn't say particularly in any of the particular steps that, and then God did this, and then God did that, you just see this arc that God is tending and caring, and through the ordinary stuff of life, their lives are being healed and transformed. Until eventually, we do get to the happy ending of Ruth. And if you haven't read Ruth, spoiler alert, it ends happy. Ruth gets married. They have a kid. Naomi has a happy ending. The kid winds up being one of the ancestors of David. Ta-da! That's why it's in the Bible. It's not actually because of the women. It's about the lineage of David. Sorry. It's a historical book. But did you know that in this book of Ruth, it has one of the fullest examples of what the word redemption is all about? Now, for us, we use the word redemption a lot about and like Jesus redeemed us. And then most of us go, what does that mean? Okay, so little side note then here in the sense of the redemption of ordinary tasks. The biblical word of redemption, for those of you who like theology words, it's similar in idea to like redeeming a coupon. Has anyone ever redeemed a coupon? Uh-huh, yeah. You use it for a purchase. Okay, in the Old Testament, their ways moved. They had lost their land, and she was a woman. She couldn't get it back herself in those days. And there's this family member who comes back, redeems, claims, and tends. And what's really beautiful in this story in the book of Ruth about the work of the Redeemer is that he is a person of great integrity and grace and honor and care. And we see that redemption isn't some kind of, you know, theoretical. It's like all part of a redemptive process. And that's important for us to think about, of course, when we think about the redemptive work of Jesus, but, you know, that's for another sermon. But now you know. So, thank you for letting me take that little side note. So, as I get back to Naomi and Ruth and think about this journey they take and how it gets to this happy ending of new life and a child and land and things that kind of provide restoration for their souls and their hearts. Of course, never take away from the loss, but transform Naomi back from bitterness into her name. Because it says at the end of the book, she's known as Naomi again. She's not Mara forever. That was just a season in her life that she was Mara. She was Naomi, and she becomes Naomi again. I want us to think and encourage you to read the book of Ruth, especially this week, and think about how whatever you are facing, whether it is actually an actual the grief of a loss of a loved one, or whether it is grief of something that you have lost, is to think about the tender book of Ruth and how God can walk through the valley with you. Remember to let grace lead the way. In how you extend that to one another, but also that you let people be gracious to you. You all, you Minnesotans, let people help you every now and again. It can be on some of those filters of the ways, especially when you're with God. We put a lot of notions on what we think is acceptable to talk about God with or not. But if you read the Psalms, you'll learn you can say anything to God. And you should say everything to God. Because when you do that, then God finally has something to work with you. And the third is recognizing that the worst thing is never the last thing. God often works through some of the most insignificant-looking, ordinary things to begin your work of redemption. And it may seem like that one little thing isn't going to make a bit of difference. But give it a try. You just never know. You never know that little crack of how God can use it to help restore, heal, and provide hope in your life. Amen.